hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country. Just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fighting down the key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my country, man. You walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. You can reach us either way. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Dealing with pushy, aggressive, we're going to direct your life type of businesses. I sometimes wonder, I have to suggest that if you don't like what some business is doing to you, push back. I went to a rather expensive Italian supermarket called Fortino's. It's a chain in Southern Ontario. And in my judgment, the foods are overpriced. But anyway, I was contemplating a seafood meal, which I plan to cook later this weekend. And I thought I would be able to get fresh fish there. And so I went. Well, actually, I was going to go. I'm at the front door, and I met with a little Chinese boy, or Oriental boy. And he says, there's a sign there. You have to wear a face mask. I thought, you got to be kidding. But okay. And he says, you have to wear a face mask. I said, I'm not going to do that. We can provide one. So I thought about it. And they said, but you have to pay a dollar when you leave. I said, no, I am not. Well, I said something more, but suffice it to say, that was the gist of it. First of all, I don't like to be told to wear a mask. And more than that, I'm not going to pay for it. If those are the conditions to shop at your overpriced store, as they say in New Jersey, forget about it. We've got to push back. Now, I know there's a case that can be made. Some people would feel safer if others wore masks. Okay. But this is the reason why I have to go along with that. And more than that, if those are the conditions for your store, then you'd better supply them. You see the way people are being pushed around? You know, this really is more and more the new normal. This afternoon I had to go to Home Depot. I spent the day in lineups. Went to Home Depot. And there's the lineup. And it took me and one of my sons, I'd say about 20 minutes to work our way through to the front of the line and finally go into Home Depot. Now, why are the lineup? Why is the lineup? Home Depot is like a huge barn of a place. Huge. Only a very limited number of people were in allowed in at a time. Well, why? Well, I guess the argument would be, well, they don't want crowds. Well, the people that were there today would not have constituted a crowd. Dispersed out through the huge store, there's plenty of room. And, you know, as long as people are reminded of the, keep 6 foot distance if you can, all would be well. Why? I don't know. It's hard to determine whether the government's mandated this or they just like to push people around. You know, and that's what it comes down to. And believe me, if you let them, they will. So in the end, we're cheerfully talking about, this is just like fucking Russia. You know, lineups, for no good reason. Now in Russia, there's a lineup because there's probably, people might be limited to one loaf of bread. And goods were very scarce. But we've advanced way beyond that in North America, or at least I thought we had. It's extremely important, though, to speak up and push back. Well, speaking up and pushing back, I see the Negroes are rioting everywhere in the United States. Actually, I'm not laughing. There were serious riots Thursday night in Minneapolis after the shooting, after the death of that Negro. In police hands. I'll get back to that in a minute, but I can understand people protesting. Maybe you've got a right to protest, or, whatever's on your mind. But isn't it uncanny that black protests more and more turn into riots? I remember way back in 1968, after Martin Luther King died, there were riots in major cities right across the United States. In fact, Detroit looked like a war zone, although it wasn't the only place. Oh, what is the thinking of this, behind this, I wonder? We're angry. So, and in most cases, they're burning down their own neighborhood. A few years ago, there were riots in Baltimore because I believe a black had died in police custody. Okay. And so what do they do? Well, they burn their own neighborhood, even burning a shelter for homeless blacks. They burned, as I recall, a drugstore, looted drugstores, looted liquor stores, of course. Isn't that just a matter of burning? It's looting. Now, what does stealing somebody else's goods have to do with a protest? I don't know. That's just the way they do it. And of course, now the problem is, as we saw in Minneapolis, is they're indulged. The police all but abandoned the streets yesterday, and they've abandoned the streets today. This is the crowning irony. There's a curfew in Minneapolis tonight. That's Friday night, but it's not enforced. The National Guard are nowhere to be seen. There are few police on the street. The state police are nowhere around. They've basically given the streets over to the thugs. A guilt-ridden mayor was apologizing and so on. And all sorts of people going on about racism. there have been other protests in other American cities tonight. That's Friday night. Some have been relatively peaceful. The one in Atlanta, you'll want to shake your head. It involved, among other things, an attack on the CNN building. That's the American headquarters of CNN. Smashing two windows, graffiti, vandalism. And you got to ask, CNN has these horrible white haters like Don Lemon. Many of the concerns of the protesters are widely carried. Negro issues are widely canvassed with all sorts of boo-hoo-hooing about the death rate from the Wuhan flu, where the coronavirus is higher among blacks. Well, that's because of racism. Yeah, I know. The coronavirus is a racist. at times, it's almost comical. But I've talked about that before, why the death rate would be higher. And no, it's not racism. It's bad health practices, for one thing. So the lawlessness continues. And regrettably, indulgence of lawlessness encourages more. I mean, if despite the fact there's a curfew in Minneapolis, if it's not enforced, and the streets belong to the thugs, well, you can't expect them to all go home and say, oh, well, the streets belong to us, we'll just go home and end the riot. No, of course not. The disgrace of seeing the precinct, I think it was the third precinct, that was the precinct near where the Negro who died, it was in that neighborhood. That the police just abandoned it last night. Let the Negro rioters and looters trash the place. This is a complete breakdown of law and order. And the President of the United States tweeted, quite right, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And it should have been quite clear, right from the beginning, when it appeared that things were going to get out of hand, the protesters should have been read the Riot Act. Disperse. Go home. You've got 5 minutes. And then anybody caught coming out of the store, you know, weighted down with some trinkets that he'd stolen, or should be shot. Perhaps not lethally, unless they're a person's arm, but shot with a shotgun, rubber bullets, and arrested. Strong action would probably have stopped further violent protests tonight, and probably going on into the weekend. It is an absolute signal failure of political leadership at the city and state level, and of policing. You'll shake your head and wonder, well, what's the point of having the police if they are not going to enforce law and order? This is a crucial time in the United States. And, it forms a pattern. I mentioned the riots in Baltimore there a few years ago. Well, I saw TV coverage that pointed out that there'd been more black riots sometime in the past. And what had happened was they burned a supermarket, I think, and they burned, I believe, a drugstore, with the result that blacks would have to travel, if they lived in that particular area, perhaps a mile to buy groceries or to obtain medications. Now, if they had a car, that's not a problem, but many were poor and didn't have a car. Public transportation's not all that good. If you're not in the best of health, it isn't necessarily all that convenient to or easy for one to go out. And this is an inevitable result of their own lawlessness. Of course, not all blacks, but that element, which unfortunately is indulged by our by so much of the system and apologized for. So they have a problem with this fellow, who with the fact that the police arrested a fellow on fraud charges, who was, as they say, well known to the police. So he's a bad guy. They got him down on the ground, and apparently he had resisted and struggled. It took them something like 7 minutes to actually get the cuffs on him. And there's the video that has, you know, gone viral, showing that a policeman with his knee on this Negro's neck. And he say he can't breathe. Now, it's if what we saw was accurate. It's sad, and it may not have been the best policing. In which case, I mean, there's a perfect course of action. In fact, part of that occurred today. Well, immediately that policeman and the others were fired, which, yeah, you know, I think is swift and not necessarily justice. They didn't have an opportunity to explain, if there was an explanation, what happened. And they're just fired. But that happens more and more. That officer was fired. Now, as of today, Friday, he's being charged with third-degree murder and of manslaughter. That case will go to court and be decided. There's no reason for the riots. Protests? Sure, if people will say, well, we're upset. Now, there's kind of a little fillip in this that you may not have caught. Some years ago, many jurisdictions banned police chokeholds because some blacks died from them. Now, the chokehold is a pretty harsh way to subdue a person, but some of these blacks are out of control. What they found, though, was that the pressure, that because of sickle cell anemia that many blacks have, as the throat is constricted, the blood cells that pick up oxygen, that should be round, these cells are not very good at doing it because of their sickle shape. They're less efficient. And so the Negro begins to have trouble breathing and can die. Something similar, I believe, happened with on Monday night with the police officer kneeling on this guy's the back of his neck. That may have happened. He was complaining that he couldn't breathe. So it's a tragic situation. a case where blacks who should know that, you know, if they're it's indicated to them that they're under arrest, should peacefully surrender instead of wiggling and struggling. There is blame to go around. Well, here's a very interesting comment by Tucker Carlson on CNN about the black mobs that are out of control in Minneapolis tonight and last night, and tragically being indulged by much of our political system. Here's Tucker Carlson.
Burn. Most of us assumed we would never live to see something like that happen here, but it did happen. So the question is, has anyone been arrested for doing that? Will anyone ever be arrested? No one in authority seems especially interested in apprehending the people who did it. All of it happened on camera, but the perpetrators just walked away. And it's possible, maybe likely, that most of them will never be punished for it. That's striking. It's a very different experience from the ones most Americans have living here. As Minneapolis burns and crowds grow in the streets of Atlanta and many other cities, the rest of us are continuing on as we always do, dutifully following the rules. There are many of those. Every year there seems to be countless new rules to follow. They multiply like insects. We do our best to keep up. We get our permits, apply for our licenses, put on our reading glasses, and check the latest regulations on the internet. We wear our little masks. We keep our dogs on leashes. We drive sober. We don't eat on the subway. We never litter. We make orderly lines and patiently wait our turn. In airports and government buildings, we remove our shoes and submit to body searches from strangers. We lose our dignity every time we do this, but they tell us we must. So we accept it without complaint. In public, we hide what we really think. We bury our natural instincts. We keep our deepest beliefs to ourselves. We know the boundaries. We understand we will be punished for telling the truth. This is the America the rest of us live in. For the privilege of citizenship in a country like this, we work as hard as we can. We never stop sharing what we earn with others. We send money we would rather give to our own children to politicians in faraway cities. With that money, they make new rules. We follow those rules to the letter. That's what we were told to do as children. That's the deal we've struck. At least we thought it was. Now we know that other people have somehow negotiated a far better deal than the one we have. They get to ignore the rules. They don't believe in order or fairness. They reject society itself. Reason and process and precedent mean nothing to them. They use violence to get what they want immediately. People like this don't bother to work. They don't volunteer or pay taxes to help other people. They live for themselves. They do exactly what they feel like doing. They say exactly what they feel like saying. They spray paint their opinions on buildings. On television, hour by hour, we watch these people, criminal mobs, destroy what the rest of us have built. They have no right to do that. They don't contribute to the common good. They never have. Yet suddenly they seem to have all the power. This is hardly the first time something like this has happened in America. Spasms of destructive violence are a recurring feature of our history, in fact, of every country's history. The ideologues will tell you that the problem is race relations, or capitalism, or police brutality, or global warming, but only on the surface. The real cause is deeper than that, and it's far darker. What you're watching is the ancient battle between those who have a stake in society and would like to preserve it, and those who don't and seek to destroy it. Underneath it all, this violence doesn't have that much to do with the behavior of the Minneapolis Police Department. For evidence, watch this tape. It's from the 1992 riots in Los Angeles. It was shot almost 30 years ago. It could have been shot this afternoon.
Black man saying, why are you destroying my business? Why are you destroying my truck? Why are you stealing my computer?
The first thing you notice about that video, in addition to how overwhelmingly sad it is that it's not a racial dispute. The elderly man could be the grandfather of the young rioters swarming around him. But that's misleading. They are nothing at all alike. The old man is fighting to defend civilization. He's armed only with a hammer, but he's trying. The young men are working to tear it down. And those are the battle lines. They always are. Which side in that war have our leaders taken? Well, watch carefully. It will become obvious. The rioters in Minneapolis and in other places act as if they're allowed to loot and burn. And in fact, they are allowed. No one stops them. The authorities don't arrest them. Instead, they pander to them, flatter them, desperately try to win their love. Why are masked lunatics setting fire to Wendy's? Because the rest of us are sinful. That's what our leaders tell us. The crimes of the mob are the punishment we deserve. That's their argument. And many seem to buy it. On a White House executive staff call just this morning, key domestic policy advisors Brooke Rollins and Jerron Smith argued that it might seem racist to say anything about the rioting in Minneapolis. Better just to let it happen. So that's what they're doing. We should have seen this coming. When you express an opinion our leaders don't like, they call it violence. When criminals commit actual acts of violence, they call it speech. So the game is rigged. Why are the rest of us still playing it? We have more power than we think we do. Our system only functions because dutiful, normal people, people with self-control and decency and above all, a sense of responsibility toward others, created our system. They sustain the system. They pay the bills. None of the thugs looting Target or the well-paid nihilists on television who are egging them on have added a thing. Nothing. Yet all of the destroyers expect that this arrangement will last forever. And you can see why, because for them, it's been a very good deal. But what exactly are you getting in return for your contributions to this system? The authorities clearly don't care about you. The police won't show up to save your life, literally. During election year, sweaty politicians claim to be on your side. It's a lie. They're not. They'll waste your time with hollow posturing. They'll feed you pointless symbolic victories and expect you to celebrate like you've actually won something. But when the mob comes, they're gone. You're on your own. That's true. Those are the facts. We can't change them. All we can control is our own behavior. Should you keep playing along with all of that? Ponder that the next time they demand you get a permit to put a deck on your own house. And think about it even harder the next time you write a tax check.
And that was Tucker Carlson. Very, very good. I thought it's particularly powerful with the idea that the vast majority of us, whites and some blacks, obey the rules, follow the increasingly onerous, you mustn't do this and you mustn't do this, that, and you mustn't say this, and you must disguise what you feel in public in case somebody feels it's racist or some other ist. It's really, really outrageous. And these are questions that, you know, I think should be asked. About 10 years ago, there's a beautiful young white couple that were brutally butchered, kidnapped, robbed, butchered, and then burned to death in Knoxville. I'm afraid I actually forget their name. We'll see if I can quickly drum it up here. It got very little publicity. It got some publicity local, and there were a few protests by whites. Yeah, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, incredible brutality. Eventually, some of the perpetrators were caught, but this horrific act. Well, how did whites react? Well, there are a couple of sympathetic protests. Mourning what had happened to them, asking for justice. And I know some of the people that were involved in those protests. These good white people, and they didn't riot, they didn't tear Knoxville apart, they didn't burn supermarkets or loot liquor stores. They got their point across. And I think, you know, police bear some responsibility, and I know they would argue, well, they can only do what the politicians will let them do, and they too don't want to be left hung out to dry. I understand that. Well, here's another incident that occurred a couple of days ago, and it was all the late afternoon news was all a flutter about this in broad daylight. In the theater district, just outside where the Toronto Blue Jays play baseball, there was a shooting at the same around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Bang, 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 and one man was killed. A woman was wounded. A 16-year-old was wounded. And there was, you know, this doesn't happen very often in Toronto. I'm going to play you something and make some comment on this. This was quite the event. Here we go. This is seems to want to escape us here. This is Toronto Police Chief Mark Saunders commenting on this. Well, maybe.
In the country, during rush hour, and have no care in the world in killing anyone in their way.
Okay, well,
is beyond comprehension.
We'll try to
Police recovered two guns at the scene and later found.
Try to get this back to the beginning of this of the broadcast. Okay, there we are. This is CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. See if we can't get this to play for us here. So we do have our technological problems. Like I could mention to you, the reason I was not on the last two nights were further technological tech problems. That appears to elude us. Here's the story. That was what we were initially told. Police released gut-wrenching video of gunfight after Toronto rapper fatally shot on downtown street. I knew it. I'll tell you why. Well, what would be the clues? Because initially we weren't told the color, the usual nothing burger story. How did I know it was a black, you might ask? I'll tell you. First of all, there were many gunshots. And initially we weren't told whether it was obviously targeted, but whether the target was actually hit or if the others who were hit were also targets or not. But I kind of thought not. I mean, usually you wouldn't be shooting for a whole group of people. There'd be one person. All right. In broad daylight, in a fairly crowded area, this is archetypal black gang shootings in Toronto. They're without restraint, with no respect for their lives or others. In fact, the police chief would be saying that in the video that I was trying to play for you. Not that we would glorify any criminals, but when the mob, the Italian mafia, decide somebody has to die, they don't ambush them in a large crowd, spraying the area with bullets in the hopes they take him down. Generally, he's lured to a private, isolated location and killed. Now, I'm not saying that's admirable, but at least innocent people are not killed. So that was the first clue. But anyway, it turns out I was right. Not that I wanted to be right, but now you can make this stuff up. As my friend Brad Love was saying to me as we talked about this type of thing today, you couldn't make this stuff up if you wanted to. Toronto police have released surveillance video of a gunfight that claimed the life of an up-and-coming rapper known as Houdini. Houdini escaped numerous times from I know it was staged, but he was the great escape artist. Well, this Houdini bought it. An image in one, this is a surveillance video. An image of one suspect was clearly captured in what Detective Sergeant Andy Singh called gut-wrenching footage. The shooting happened in the city's entertainment district Tuesday afternoon, when suspects in a rental vehicle were lying in wait for 21-year-old DiMargio Jenkins, who had an Airbnb nearby. Now, DiMargio, as I say, couldn't make this up, even if there wasn't a picture of him here yet. D-I-M-A-R-J-I-O, DiMargio Jenkins. Better known if you follow rap, and I don't, as Houdini. Anyway, according to police, at least 23 shots were fired in the gunfight after the suspects got out and opened fire on Jenkins. Singh says a suspect got out of the vehicle and exchanged fire with two of Jenkins' associates. Associates with guns. Don't forget, this is Toronto, not Texas. We have strict handgun laws. It's almost impossible to get a carry permit unless you are a police officer or private security. Ordinary people, even extraordinary people, it's almost impossible to get a handgun for to carry for self-defense. No, our ruling class doesn't believe in that. Well, not to say that the Prime Minister isn't surrounded by armed bodyguards. Important people are, but ordinary people, who might also think their lives are important, don't get the same rights. But anyway, the fact that his associates, well, maybe bodyguards, are armed, and they're shooting it out with somebody who gets out of the a blue Volkswagen. And one of the associates was a 15-year-old boy who's got a gun. Now, what is rapper? Is that code for something? Detective Sergeant Singh says Jenkins was shot and killed while the teenager was wounded and is facing firearms charges. He was known to police previously, which means he has a criminal record. The suspect's vehicle, the blue Volkswagen Tiguan, had been rented for most of a month. It was found burned out late Wednesday north of the city, and it's undergoing forensic investigation. Police also recovered two firearms from Jenkins' associates, as well as a high-capacity 30-round magazine, which is illegal in Canada. This is why gun laws don't do any good. These guns were already illegal. It wasn't a matter of, gosh, somehow if we only just made this gun or that gun illegal, all the gangsters would stop using them and we'd have peace. Well, no, that's not the way things work at all. But anyway, covered shell cases came from a .40 caliber and 9mm weapon. The brazen daylight ambush and shootout could have caused numerous casualties among bystanders, police said. He quite clearly had no regard for human life, said Singh. Well, that's quite true, and the black gangsters don't. Not their victims' lives, obviously, not their own lives, not even the lives of other blacks. This was an active gunfight happening on one of the busiest corners of our city. This is unacceptable. Well, yeah, maybe you should be cracking down on Negro gangs. Witnesses reported panic as people fled the area. It's a targeted shooting, Singh said. I believe Mr. Jenkins was the target. Well, yeah, he got killed, too. A 27-year-old woman bystander hit by a stray bullet was expected to fully recover. Bullets narrowly missed others, including a mother and her 6-year-old son, police said, who had nothing. The woman who was hit and these others had nothing to do with it. This is typical of Negro gang violence. They're utterly promiscuous in the way they shoot, with no regard for others' lives, for the lives of anybody. But then, you know, are you surprised?
And so they go on, but you know, there were numerous people. It was just lucky that they weren't hit. Jenkins grew up in Brampton, Ontario, and was said to be one of the most streamed independent Canadian rappers. Warner Music Canada, which worked with him on a compilation album showcasing Toronto's rising stars, has said in a statement that he was exceptionally talented. What's he doing with armed bodyguards? Stephen Kane of Warner Music Canada said, Houdini had unlimited potential as an artist, and we're incredibly saddened that his life was cut short. I suppose you can take that for whatever you want, but it really makes you wonder if we'll ever get to the bottom of this. But why exactly would somebody target and try to kill, obviously, and actually did kill this rising young artist? I mean, it's got to be more than that. How many rising young artists in country and western or pop music are gunned down? Well, because it has much to do with their lifestyle. Well, we may eventually find out more, and certainly if and when we do, I will be more than happy to pass it on. Very interesting thing as well. Taylor Swift, I see, is relieving herself of some excess opinions, and she says that Donald Trump is encouraging white supremacy. Now, if you don't like what Taylor Swift has said, if you don't like her views, let it be known, and I would suggest not to buy her music. Of course, she's perfectly entitled to any opinion, and I respect that, but I also think what she's doing is trying to be trendy, trying to get on the right side of, which is the wrong side, of these issues. And in some circles, it's really popular to dump on Donald Trump. If you're a Trump loyalist, say something. Well, this is Paul Fromm. I'm going to play some country and western music by a man who did have some problems with the law, who overcame those problems. He had problems with alcohol, and he had youthful conviction. But he has a tremendous voice, and this is Randy Travis. So I hope you like it. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on AltRightTV.com.
Makes his toe on the body, makes the young girl There's no place like home.
should have held on to. They say hindsight's 20/20, but I'm nearly going blind from staring at her photograph and wishing she was mine. It's that same old lost love story. It's sad, but it's true. There was a time when she was mine in 1982. Postman, can you sell me a special kind of stamp?
Travis, and this is Paul Fromm. You're on the Funny Side of Me here on whiteresistanceradio.com. Also, you can reach us at altrighttv.com. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here made to wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together. The thistle, shamrock, rose and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever.
Save our queen and heaven bless the maple.